peoples of the earth knew the truth of oneness, that matter is just the joyful song of spirit, and the human is just the playful dance of the divine, that the earth, the animals, the wind, the sun, and the stars are all brothers and sisters sharing one heart that beats in cosmic rhythm. And their knowledge of oneness blessed the days of their lives, for it made everything that they experienced sacred. But over time, the truth was forgotten, and the way of separation was born. And the people came to believe that God was different and outside of them, and that nature was a word for inanimate objects like mountains and rivers and trees, here to be servants of mankind. And they decided that some people, like priests and sages, and some places like churches and temples, were infused with more spirit than others, and therefore were better. They located heaven above them and no longer saw the earth as sacred. Thus, their everyday lives became ordinary, for they had lost connection to the divine. We are the great-great-grandsons and great-granddaughters of those who followed the way of separation. We have experienced and have separated the spiritual from everyday living, and thus separated ourselves from living everyday spirituality. The spiritual has become associated with Sunday church services or the Sabbath or yoga and meditation or a trip to India or a tour of a famous European cathedral. We think that praying is more spiritual than riding a bike, reading religious literature more holy than making love. We are living secularized lives, yet wondering why life feels so meaningless and devoid of purpose. We have separated from our very home, the earth. We have disconnected from her rhythms. We try to tame them with technology as if the planet itself were a wild animal that we are determined to dominate. We treat the earth with hostility and apathy. If a mountain is in our way, we move it. If a tree blocks our view, we cut it down. We poison the waters and pollute the air because we foolishly think of ourselves as distant and separate, and we do not see that by hurting our mother, the earth, we are hurting ourselves. Ah, depressing. But there's hope. And I'm going to bring that element into it. This is one of my favorite all-time books. It is called Spiritual Ecology, The Cry of the Earth. And there are essays by Thich Nhat Hanh, Wendell Berry, Sandra Ingerman, Richard Rohr, Mary Evelyn Tucker, Vanda Shiva, and many others. And it is edited by Llewellyn Von Lee. This has essays by these divine beings who are helping us to have a greater understanding of our earth and to reconnect. In the introduction, the earth is in distress and is calling to us, sending us signs of its extremity and its imbalance through earthquakes, tsunamis, floods and storms, drought and unprecedented heat. There are now indications that as an ecosystem as a whole, we might be approaching what is called a tipping point of irreversible change with unforeseeable consequences. And some of us are responding to these signs, hearing this calling individually and as groups with ideas and actions, trying to bring our collective attention to the unsustainable materialistic lifestyle and the ways it contributes to the ecological devastation. Sadly, much of the response still brings to the mindset that has caused the imbalance, the belief that we are separate from the world, that it is something out there, a problem we need to solve. The world is not a problem to be solved. It is a living being to whom we belong. The world is part of our own self, and we are part of the suffering. Until we go to the root of the image of separateness, there can be no healing. And the deepest part of our separateness from creation lies in our forgetfulness. You go to the store, you buy food, it's packaged in plastic. How much are you aware that that food came from the mother? Hopefully. Or it was manufactured, and we call it food. When our Western monolithic culture suppressed the many gods and goddesses of creation, cut down the sacred trees, and banished God to heaven, we began a cycle that has left us with a world destitute of the sacred in a way that is unimaginable to the indigenous people. The natural world and the people who carry its wisdom know that the created world and all of its many inhabitants are sacred and belong together. Our separation from the natural world may have given us the fruits of technology and science, but it has left us bereft of any instinctual connection to the spiritual dimension of life, the connection between our soul and the soul of the earth, the knowing that we are part of one living spiritual being. And we have a video that I would like to have our wonderful production team now present. The earth, I believe it's our mother is, what is it called? The earth is our mother. So they're putting that together. This man, whom you'll see, has never been filmed before. This is the first time. An indigenous man, not Amanda Gorman, but the other one. There you go.
More than ever, we need to remember that the earth is our mother. We have been hurting our own mother. When we say that the earth is our mother, when we call her Mother Earth, we are not only saying something nice, we're saying the truth. She's our mother. She's made of everything that we are made of, that our body is made of. She has minerals, water, air, everything that we have in our bodies, she has. It's like when you look at a baby and say, oh, she or he looks like her mother. That can be said about all of us. We look like our mother. The earth is really our mother. So how do we take care of our mother? Our real mother, the one that we were born from, the one that gave us her milk when we were little, the one who carried us when we couldn't walk. We are grateful to her, and we want to take care of her. The relationship with Mother Earth, with Pachamama, is exactly the same. There is no difference. It's a relationship of gratitude, a relationship where she takes care of us, we take care of her. This is just a natural way of being here on Earth. And we humans have lost our way. For a long time now, we have been hurting our own mother, taking too much from her, abusing her. The people who did this were not aware that they were doing that to their mother. They thought that it was just a source of materials, that they could take anything from her. The earth, as a living creature, is not as healthy as she used to be. There are places that were full of life and now are not. Things are changing. There is damage. One of the most important ways to repair this damage so we can have our mother healthy again is to be fully aware when we drink a glass of water, when we eat our food, that this was given by our mother to us. Anybody who produced anything took it from our mother first. It is very important, very necessary at this time that we humans return to a child-mother relationship and really have a relationship. By talking to her, by being with her, by giving thanks to her, by crying to her when we need her nourishment. As long as we learn again and practice again, having a good relationship with Mother Earth, there is hope that we may continue being here.
I hope that all of you will come to the presentation today at 12:30. There is a second video by this same gentleman, and he talks about what we can do, but you will be surprised by the answer. But you have to be here to watch that video to hear his answer, because I was amazed by the depth of that answer. So the Earth is our mother. And we all realize that there is a major ecological crisis happening in our world. Number one being climate change and all the effects that it has. But did you realize, do you realize that there is actually another crisis that is actually underneath that ecological crisis of global proportions? You want to know what it is? What was that? Okay. You know me, I'm like, you're still with me. So the major crisis that is unacknowledged, that is underneath our ecological crisis today, is our forgetfulness of the sacred nature of all creation as a living, breathing, feeling being. We are not in the indigenous mindset that everything is alive. The stones, the trees, their energies, they have feeling. In our technological world, commercialized and industrialized, we focus more on the solutions. What can we do to fix this problem? And as it was said, there's nothing to fix. We need to come back to honoring the sacred, okay? We need to come back and to understand that the mother has feelings, that there is an energy that we're not aware of and in touch with because we have been domesticated and trained in a very left-brained world that is not engaged in the earth the way our ancestors were. Nature is not unfeeling matter. It is filled with invisible forces with their own intelligence and deep knowing. This was always understood by the wisdom keepers and shamans, by those who were aligned with the forces within nature, with its hidden powers and wisdom. Our ancestors lived in a world of kinship on many levels, where we were not masters and not the dominant species, but part of a living tapestry. Just one species among many, in which the hunter asked the spirit of the deer for permission to hunt, the gatherer for the plant's blessings to harvest. Here there was no hierarchy, but an interdependent world, both physical and spiritual, all part of one community that could communicate through dance and dream, song and prayer. Always there was this primary place of belonging in the land and in our souls. It used to be part of the way we lived and how we breathed and walked. It is only through awakening to an awareness of the sacred within creation and its relationship to our nature that we can begin to right the primal imprint and imbalance that lies at the root of the present present predicament, our awareness of the world as a living whole needs to include its spiritual dimension. Otherwise, any attempt we make at healing what has gone so wrong, oh, I guess we have Harry Potter in the room acknowledging that we can't just treat the symptoms and we have to go to the underlying cause. How many of you are aware of the person named Amanda Gorman? Yes, we're going to go with a video by her. She wrote this at age 16. It's called Earthrise. And, you know, she is the youngest inaugural National Poet Laureate who spoke at Biden's The Hill We Climb at his inauguration in 2020. But we're going to now see what she has as a very passionate Earthrise message.
On Christmas Eve, 1968, astronaut Bill Anders snapped a photo of the Earth as Apollo 8 orbited the moon. Those three guys were surprised to see from their eyes a planet looked like an Earthrise, a blue orb hovering over the moon's gray horizon with deep oceans and silver skies. It was our world's first glance at itself, a first chance to see a shared reality, a declared stance, and a commonality, a glimpse into a planet's mirror. And as threats drew nearer, our own urgency became clearer as we realized that we hold nothing dearer than this floating body we all call home. We've known that we're caught in the throes of climactic changes. Some say we'll just go away, while some simply pray to survive another day. For it is the obscure, the oppressed, the poor, who when the disaster is declared done, still suffer more than anyone. Climate change is the single greatest challenge of our time. Of this, you're certainly aware. It's saddening, but I cannot spare you from knowing an inconvenient fact, because it's getting the facts straight that gets us to act and not to wait. So I tell you this not to scare you, but to prepare you, to dare you to dream a different reality where, despite disparities, we all care to protect this world, this riddled blue marvel, this little true marvel, to master the verve and the nerve to see how we can serve our planets. You don't need to be a politician to make it your mission to conserve, to protect, to preserve that one and only home that is ours. To use your unique power to give next generations the planet they deserve. We are demonstrating, creating, advocating. We heed this inconvenient truth because we need to be anything but lenient with the future of our youth. And while this is a training in sustaining the future of our planet, there is no rehearsal. The time is now, 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 because the reversal of harm and protection of a future so universal should be anything but controversial. So, Earth, pale blue dots, we will fail you not. Just as we chose to go to the moon, we know it's never too soon to choose hope. We choose to do more than cope with climate change. We choose to end it. We refuse to lose. We do this and more, not because it's very easy or nice, but because it is necessary. Because with every dawn, we carry the weight of the fates of this celestial body orbiting a star. And as heavy as the weight sounded, it doesn't hold us down, but it keeps us grounded, steady, ready, because an environmental movement of this size is simply another form of an Earthrise. To see it, close your eyes, visualize that all of us in this room and outside of these walls or in these halls, all of us change makers, are in a spacecraft floating like a silver raft in space, and we see the face of a planet anew. We relish the view. We witness its round green and brilliant blue, which inspires us to ask deeply, wholly, what can we do? open your eyes, know the future of this wise planet is right in sight. Might and all of us trust this earth uprising, all of us bring light to exciting solutions never tried before, for it is our hope that implores us at our uncompromising core to keep rising up for an earth more than worth fighting for.
Yeah, right? Sixteen years old. Are we on? Am I on? Is my mic on? 16 years old. Blows my mind. Are we on? Okay, I can't hear myself. You know, it's like the lighter. Yeah, I do hope you're going to come back at 12:30 today. I have chosen, or Spirit chose, some other videos that are going to have a variety pack. They're short, and we'll have a discussion. So I'm just going to come down to the heart of it, which is Earth, right? Heart and Earth have the same letters. Just saying. So to be in this consciousness, this change that is being called forth, basically is going to take two parts. It's a shift in consciousness is number one, and number two must be followed by actions. So you are probably waiting for that acronym, right? Say yes. Of course you are. So E, we're going to do Earth. E, educate and embrace. Now I gave you, hopefully you have a card, and I forgot to say this at the beginning, that because it's so important, I want you to have taken notes today. For those that haven't, you can listen to it again, because this is crucial. This is critical. This isn't something you come to a Sunday and you go, that was nice, and then out. No, I want something to happen as a result of our being here today. So E means to educate and embrace. And how I am going to encourage you to embrace and educate is through some books. This one being one of them, and I have this one is called Spiritual Ecology. It's the same beginning name, but this is 10, and it's a very small book, less than 100 pages. 10 Practices to Reawaken the Sacred in Everyday Life. This is going to give you 10 practices to shift that inner consciousness, right? So if you don't have a pen or a card, also raise your hand. Jen's handing those out. These are also available on Bookshop. Is that right? It's called bookshop.org and under Unity Santa Fe. But these books, we have a few, but you can also purchase these. So I would say educate and embrace the earth. A stands for act. You have to take an action, okay? And because if you're just changing consciousness, and the thing is, if you change the consciousness, you will take the action, because we need to shift both. The books, I just mentioned one of them, Spiritual Ecology, the practices to connect more in consciousness. That's one in how to and act. But this one is my all-time favorite. It's How to Go Almost Zero Waste. And I have a few available. This has... It's the best book I've ever seen. It's short, it's complete, it nails basically what little actions. It's a short ones, and you can read it, and it'll tell you the impact, the cost, the effort needed. I have already changed my life and taken different actions because of that. Afterwards, you can take a look of all the little ways that I have personally done things different. I no longer do plastic, right, in my laundry detergent. I no longer use toothpaste in tubes. I use this glass container, and it has what is called Bite. And there's another brand that I'm now getting. These are papaya sheets that actually you don't have to buy paper towels. These work wonderfully. So I have all of these things. There's a place in Santa Fe. How many of you know of Soap and Supply? Some of you do. There's cards out there. We are now refilling. This is my hair, my shampoo. I don't go buy another plastic bottle for shampoo. I go there, I take this, they fill it up. and I pay for it. I'm not going to have. I'm trying to get rid of the plastic. So I have all of these various things that I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I have made certain changes. And it is significant if everybody does, what is the one thing that can do differently? It's not hard to do. Unity Santa Fe also has a green team that we got formed about a year ago. We're small, but we're very mighty. I would like to invite the green team to come forth. That would be Sandy Decker, Terry Caldwell, Deborah Desmond, and Tom McCrory is going to come over here and stand to my left. You stand right here, and next, and then these are our mighty, mighty folks, and I know some of you are going to want to join us in our once-a-month meetings, usually the third Sunday of the month. We have already taken great steps. I am not going to tell you all the wonderful things that we have done, but we are using recompostable paper. We are composting food scraps. We're using ceramic mugs. We are not using bottled water anymore. That's just, can't do that. Because you know only 6% of plastic is actually being recycled. As much as you think you're doing good, that was a fact that hurt my little soul when I found that out. So all that recycling we're doing, it's not doing it. It's not doing what we need. We have also joined the New Mexico Interfaith Power and Light. And this wonderful team have helped create what is called the Unity Santa Fe Earth Care Covenant. And we created this from a template, but we wanted to make it ours. So Deborah Desmond is going to read our first paragraph, this one right here, and just hold this up.
Yeah. Our consciousness reveals all of our creation is connected as one. As people of the faith, we commit to a renewed reverence for life and respect the independent web of all existence.
Thank you, Deborah. She is our pray master, and I love her passion. Okay, next one, please. Sandy.
We honor our spiritual commitment to the care, support, and defense of the balance between our individual needs and those of nature. We envision a world in which everything has intrinsic value and where all beings are assured a secure and meaningful life that is ecologically responsible and sustainable.
And Terry.
We agree to transform our individual and congregational consciousness and lives into acts of greater love and respect. Thereby, we release unconscious, harmful actions in exchange for higher consciousness and new behaviors that demonstrate our respect for our earth home and all beings in harmony in interconnectedness.
And we're going to have Tom McCrory speak the last words.
We declare our covenant with and as the divine, to live upon the earth as faithful stewards for the highest and greatest good of all creation.
And this is adopted. This is not just our mission. It is the covenant of each and every one of you. This was being adopted today. And the Board of Trustees has agreed. That's why I have Tom, the president of the board. And this is being adopted here at Unity Santa Fe as our official Earth Care Covenant on this day, the 21st day of April, 2024. So let's give some love. Thank you. Okay, so you're educating and embracing. Ask Spirit what? That A is for ask and act. Ask Spirit, what does she want and need? Ask the question, what is it I can do? And then take action. Okay, now we're on the R. R is to remember and reconnect through your prayers, daily prayers. daily prayers that the Mother Earth is being cared for, that there's a shift in consciousness. Let us reconnect and remember our mother. She's alive and she's hurting. Our prayers are impactful. We start to connect. The T stands for think and thank the mother. You want to think about all the things that come from her. When you have a glass of water, juice, you buy something at the store, everything comes from the mother. It's not coming from the moon. So think about what all is here. And when you're taking a walk, thank the trees, thank the soil, thank mother for everything, the air, the sun, the clouds, the rain. Think and thank. The H stands for honor and hear her. Honor and hear her. The beginning in the inspirational from nature. Listen. You know, the stones could talk if we were attuned. The indigenous cultures knew how to hear and to listen to what she is saying. She's speaking to us. Are you hearing her? In closing, Thich Nhat Hanh says, real change will only happen when we fall in love with our planet. Only love can show us how to love in harmony with nature and with each other and save us from the devastating effects of environmental destruction and climate change. We need to reawaken to the power of love. Love opens us to a deeper participation and understanding. The earth is our mother. She is not a thing. She is alive, and she needs us. I have a prayer that has been switched up. You may close your eyes. It is entitled, Our Mother, the Earth. Our Mother, who is the Earth, nurturing are your ways. Thy healing come, wholeness be done in us as it is beyond. Thank you this day for our daily bread, our water, our air, and for all the blessings you bestow. And forgive us any harm we may have created as we atone for that harm. Lead us not into judgment, but deliver us to balance once again. For thine are the waters of life, the hills, valleys, and plains of home. Your way, Mother, is the glory of us, the love of us, and the grace of us. And so it is. Amen. The earth is our mother. Let us love her and never forget that we have a power to change. I do have some copies of this if you're interested out in the foyer, and if you're in the cyber sanctuary, let me know and I can send you a copy. So let us love the mother. And so it is.